All right, so review. James is writing this to who? Jewish believers, okay? They're Jewish. Most of the believers throughout the book of Acts, they were Jewish believers. They weren't Gentile believers until you get to, like, chapter 9. I think then they start having Gentiles be converted to Christianity, okay? So what happens here, James is speaking to Jewish believers, and these are the believers that are scattered. Okay, they're scattered into other countries. The reason why they're scattered into other countries is because if you go back to Acts 2, you see that Stephen was stoned. He started speaking. They stoned him. And what it did was it just stirred up the whole city into this spirit of persecution. And they persecuted all the believers. They either put them into prison, loss of life, loss of property. And they got to the point where they just dispersed. Okay, they scattered. Now, the good thing about the bad persecution is that what happened was the gospel spread, all right? That's the good thing about the bad thing, okay? Does it make the persecution any less good? It was a bad thing. People lost their lives. They lost their homes. It was troubling to them. Here they had just been filled with God's Spirit, and things were happening. They were bringing people into the church, and then they have trauma happened, catastrophe happened to them. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to lose my house. Nor would I want to be in jail or prison, and I wouldn't want to lose family members because of that. But these people did. They experienced that. But God's overall picture in that is that it turned out to be good because the gospel was spread through that scattering. Okay? Romans 8:28. Anybody quote it? Okay, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That we need to remember. Now, that part of Scripture pertains to praying as well as just a blanket statement, but it is a true statement. There are things that happen to us that are not good, but God, because he loves us, we talked about this, he loves us. He loves us, he loves us. Doesn't matter what season we're in, he loves us, and he takes care of that. He turns it all around. All right? So we want to consider it great joy. This is something that I think we need to get a greater understanding of. So when you're in the midst of that thing, you're in the midst of, we talked about troubles and trials. They're like pressure. When you get into that pressure, you need to be seeing it as joy. Now, how many of you do on a regular basis when you're in the middle of something, it's like, oh, joy. Oh, joy, this is good. This is good for me. It hurts, but it's good for me. We don't usually do that, okay? But I'm gonna share some things with you. Pastor Tim really taught this in a way that it took me about three times listening to it to really understand the flow of what he was doing and how to explain this, how you can consider it joy in the midst of what you're going through. We also talked about the last time was being able to recognize that you're in the middle of something rather than going 2 weeks before you recognize that you're in the middle of something and maybe you need to do your homework and, you know, get your scriptures out and stand on the word of God in your situation. Sometimes it takes us that long. I'm getting better. It's just about 2 days. And actually the last experience, it took me 20 minutes and I was so happy that I, you know, because I find that when I get into pressure, a lot of times the pressure comes, the trouble comes, and the instance that I shared was that I was sensitive enough that I knew that something was coming. The Lord had shared that with me, that something was coming. So I was prepared. When it came, I went, yep, I knew that was coming. But then immediately the enemy came in and gripped me with fear. Do you know what that feels like in the inside? And it was almost to the intensity of maybe kind of a panic attack type thing going. Okay, and it took me about 20 minutes, and then it was like, okay, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of joy and of sound mind. So I don't need to be afraid. This is the enemy trying. God already told me this was going to happen. He's going to make it work out for my good, one way or the other. Okay, you're following me? Okay, so back up to verse 2, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Let's take the joy out of that and let's look at that. That joy in the Greek is not mixed emotions. It's all joy. Okay, there's not any other emotions mixed in that. Part of that. It's all joy. Now remember, joy is not happy. Joy is not pleasure. Joy is not fun. Joy is something completely different than those. Okay? So, you know, it's not a, hooray, I'm going through something. It's not that kind of a joy. It's a knowing on the inside. We'll share more about that as we go. All right, in verse 3, it says, for you know, okay, we're going to look at that. For you know that when your faith is tested, your patience or your endurance has a chance to grow. Okay, that know is, he's saying to them, you know this already. You know something about this. They've seen from their past experience that they can consider this as joy. They know this. We should get to that point where we know it. We know it. We can consider it joy. These believers knew something about trials and troubles and bad things, persecution. They knew things about that. And so then they could see what was happening, that their faith was being tested. And when their faith was tested, their patience had an opportunity to grow. All right? So take a minute. I left a space there. Take a minute and write a trouble or a hard thing down if you would like to. Some people don't like to. You know, once you write it down, you're committed. Well, it's true. Larissa, you know that. You know that. Okay. A trouble, a hard thing, a trial, a persecution. Okay, you good? All right. Now, you may get tired of me saying this, but we're going to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat because that was how I finally was able to process through this enough, okay? So don't get upset with me about the fact that I'm repeating and repeating and repeating, okay? So trials, troubles, hard things, they come. We know that. They come. All right? And it's not if they come, it's when they come. You'll see throughout Scripture that they come. You're always, what was the statistic that I gave you last time? 25% of your day is spent in unpleasant trees. Would you agree? I mean, if you even work with people, that's 10% right there. That's 10% right there if you're working with people. Okay, so, and it's always about, they always come, their whole deal is to test your faith. Do you see that in there? It says that you know that when your faith is tested, okay, that's what the trouble and thing come to do. They come to test your faith, okay? And we talked about the shield of faith. Do you have your shield of faith up there? Is it working? Okay? The thing that I like is that in one of the translations, it says it proves your faith, okay? It shows that it's working. It proves it. Is it going to hold up or is it going to give up? That's the thing that we need to know. An example, when I homeschooled, I had a curriculum that I used, and it was either called Power Spelling or Spelling Power. I can't remember which. But it was a 10-step deal. Spelling Power. Okay. It was a 10-step deal, and what it did was it pre-tested. So you weren't studying the bank of words. You gave the bank of words before they got a chance to study. And it was a positive thing because what happened was they were tested on these words, and you were only studying the words that you got wrong. So maybe they got 3 words wrong in the list, and therefore it was positive. They were only studying the 3 words. So basically the test was proving the words they already knew how to spell and then showing them the words that they didn't know how to spell. Okay? So test proves your faith. Okay? Following me? You okay with this? Okay, same with tests and trials. They come to prove or test your faith, okay, where your faith is at. And I like that because I like to know where I'm at. If I'm not handling a situation, means I got to beef up my foundation a little bit in the Word of God if I'm not handling it, okay? Faith operating the right way will take you through a trial or a trouble. Do you agree with that? That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. Okay? Back to verse 3. Knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. This is where we're going. Okay? The faith produces the patience. Okay, I'm going to skip over here. You can follow me to Romans 5. And I'm looking at verses 3 and 4. Excuse me. And Paul has got this same idea. I didn't realize there was so much rejoicing that goes with, you know, that was in Scripture about rejoicing when you're in troubles. But Paul, he says it here in Romans. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance or patience. And patience or endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. Okay, so follow me. You have a test or a trial. Okay, it comes to test your faith. The testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, it's kind of like a chemical equation. You know, you got this, and you got this, and you got this, and you're adding them all together. Okay, this is the process or the flow. So patience is actually very vital to this process of being able to count it all joy. Okay, so James 1:4, go back there. If you held your place, you're good. All right. It says, so let it grow, this patience, for when your patience or endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let's talk about perfect. Okay, perfect here is not absolute perfection. So this is something that you can grab a hold of. This is something you can have. Absolute perfection, forget it. You're not going to have it. And if you like absolute perfection, you're going to be a miserable person. Yeah, because I do like things to be kind of perfect, and it just doesn't work that way. So anyway, this perfect is wholeness. This is maturity. This is completeness. This is what we're talking about. This is what we want, is we want this maturity. Okay? All right, and we can grasp this. Back in Romans 4, it says that the patience develops strength of character, and our character is known by our patience. Would you not agree? Okay, if you're an impatient person, it really shows up in your character. It's not a good thing, okay? And this is the process of the testing plus the producing of this patience. It brings the maturity and the strength of character into your life. Okay, so there's a purpose for all of this. Okay, so the testing of your faith, then your faith produces patience, and if you let patience have its work, it will bring completeness and strength of character. Okay, both Paul and James, they said we need to consider this joy. They knew something about this joy. So when we experience these trials and tests, that's what we're looking at. We want to know these things. They said, you already know. He's talking to these believers. They already knew it. Now we need to know it, okay? So on your paper, there was one thing that I didn't do. There was one thing I didn't do, and you'll see trials. The next thing on your sheet is trials. I'll tell you what to do here in just a minute. Okay, the trial, we're supposed to count it joy. It's not pleasure, and it's not fun. Joy is deeper, it's fuller, it's far more precious than just everyday pleasure or fun. Okay, it's a fruit of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, okay, that's supposed to come out. Okay, now go down with a line from trial and then an arrow over to trials come to test your faith. Do you see that? Draw a line down and put an arrow, because this is process, okay? And because we all know that trials come, okay, they come to test your faith. We talked about 2 weeks ago when I spoke that you have to ask yourself when the trial comes, you have to ask yourself what? What did I tell you have to ask yourself? Do you believe what you say you believe? Because that's what it's doing. It's making you question, okay? This is where you're going to have to act on your believing. This whole thing that's going on with being tested or having a trouble or having pressure, okay? Will you make it through it? And, of course, the obvious is yes, but it's how you're going to make it through it is the big deal. You know, you're going to make it through with joy, or you're going to quit, and some people do that. Okay, down from trials come to test your faith, draw a line, and come down to the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, so this is all a process. And, you know, if I knew how to do the PowerPoint thing, this would have all been on PowerPoints, but I don't know how to do that either. So, right, just like you helping me with my worksheet. Yeah, yeah, I know how that works. She has more of a life than I do. That there is truth to that. Okay, let's look at patience, because this is where we're going. Patience, patience. Patience is steadfastness. And this is not grocery line patience. Do you know what I mean by that? This is not grocery line patience, where, you know, you're kind of gauging where people are at, and you're watching the checkout person to see how fast they're going, and you're waiting your turn, and you might be three people behind, but you're waiting and you're waiting. It's not that kind of patience. Nor is it my granddaughter's patience. I got... was it last year or 2 years ago? I got this kitchen for Christmas, this play kitchen. It's really, really nice, and it was a gift to me. So I got this play kitchen, and my granddaughter, Hayden, she came in April, and we got the play kitchen out, and she was playing, and it has a knob that you can turn the range on, and the burners light up, and it sizzles. It only sizzled once, though. It was broken. So I don't know what the deal is. But then there's a second knob that the light turns on, and then a timer starts. And this is what she does. She walks over there, and she turns the knob. The burners light up, and then it goes tick, tick, tick. And she's like this, tick, 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 ding. All done. Not that kind of patience. Okay, that didn't take long. That didn't take long. Or is it the kind of patience that I use with my other granddaughter, Hadassah, who's a mover and a shaker? She's on the move all the time. Not that kind of patience. And it will take both sets of grandparents and the grandmother to be able to work with this child to get her where she needs to go, because she's going to be going places. She's good. It's not that kind of patience. This is a hold-on kind of patience. Okay? Hold on tight. And you can do this. It's strong. It's outlasting. It's staying power. It's perseverance. You're going to hang on. This is the kind of patience that it is. Okay? We have this because we have no idea what the next test or trial is. You have no idea what's coming. So you got to be ready for these. You got to be able to recognize them and have things in place so that you can hold on. Okay? And the thing of it is that God is at work in this patience. This is actually God at work in you. Remember, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's God at work in you. All right, now in Luke 8:15, I don't know if I put that on your notes or not. It's the parable of the sower or the soils. It's actually the four conditions of the heart. And it says there, but the ones who fell on good ground are those who, by hearing the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and are bearing fruit with patience. Okay? So bearing fruit with patience, it's hanging in there until you see the results. Okay? We're going to have fruit. We're going to have harvest. But we're hanging in there. We're going to have that patience. Okay, and the key is to every good thing that God desires in your life, we have to have this kind of patience. Okay, if we want to see the good thing come out of this, we've got to have this patience. Okay, patience is usually the missing element when a trial comes. We're not exercising patience. Problems, when they come, we need to engage that patience, that hold on thing, okay? Let's see, where am I at? The reason why is because you don't want to react to the situation. You want to respond to it. Okay, anybody react? Anybody? Yeah, yeah. It's not a good thing when you react. You want to be able to respond. You want to have peace. You want to have that patience. Okay? So faith and patience, they work together. Actually, they're power twins. They work together. And you don't have any more faith than you have patience. Okay? In Hebrews 6:12 through 11, it says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true, that you will not become spiritually dull or indifferent. There you go. There's a deal. Don't become spiritually dull or indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their patience. Think about that. Think about some of the people in the Old Testament. Some of them didn't even see what they spoke about, but it was faith and it was patience. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they needed patience because they were having to walk through the wilderness because of the older generation. Now that gives you patience. You know, I'm having to do this deal. This isn't even my fault. I was only 4 years old. I didn't know what was going on. But yet I got to endure through this. Okay? But it was for purpose. It was for good. Okay? Patience keeps faith working. If patience is gone, faith shuts down. Okay? It's not working anymore. Because if you can't hold on, if you can't stay there, then faith just bottoms right out. You lose it. You become afraid. You react. Okay? Are you following me here? Okay, it's through faith and patience that we're going to inherit the promises. It's a good thing I have my pages number because I just about overdid here. Okay, so faith works every time if we leave it on the job. And patience is what keeps faith on the job because they work together. All right, so it's process, process, process. I've shared with you this incident where my son Rodney had been accused of saying something that offended someone. And this is a good example of patience not holding on in myself. And that was, my whole thing was, I didn't want Rodney to get hurt in this. He was about 13 years old, and we had discovered that through some investigation that there was no way he could have made the comment that supposedly he had said because he didn't have the information, plus the age that he was at. There was just no way. But the thing came down to where Roger felt that Rodney needed to go and make an apology because the person was offended by what he had said. And it was just like, this is not the way it's supposed to turn out. You know, this is not going to hurt Rodney. He's not going to have to, you know, and you get your feathers all in a bind because you think you know how it's supposed to end. And that's not always the way it is. So long story short, Rodney goes out, he makes his apology, and he walks outside the building, and he goes, Dad, look at the stars. It was winter, so the sky was clear. Dad, look at the stars. And Roger had come home, and he said he wasn't affected at all by this. He went, he made the apology. He knew that he didn't say it because it was too complicated of a thing for him to have said. But at home, while this is going on, Melanie is losing her patience, and her faith goes down the drain, and I pick up my Bible, and I throw it. Because I'm mad. Now, that's a react. Okay, that's not a respond, that's a react. But patience was gone. God had failed me, God had disappointed me, and God never disappoints, nor does God fail. Just doesn't always look the way we want it to look. All right? So what happened was I had to get packing tape out and try and tape my Bible back together because it was in five pieces. You know, it was just a mess, okay? It's still that way. I had to tape the cover back on. Not a good thing, okay? So let's review a little bit. We have a trial, right? The trial comes to do what? Test your faith, okay? And the testing of your faith does what? Produces patience. And they work together, the faith and the patience, they work together. And faith works every time as long as we keep it engaged, keep it on the job. Now the enemy, he comes, and what does he do? He questions God. God's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's not doing it the way it should be done. He's late. I've never known the enemy to say he's early. That usually isn't the deal. It's usually he's late. He's not going to work. And his whole thing is he wants you to get disconnected from God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to disconnect you. He wants to discourage you about how God is dealing with it. He wants to distract you so you're now no longer looking to God, okay? And so he's pulling on your strength. He's wearing your patience down because if he can get your patience to quit, then your faith shuts down. That's the game plan. That's the whole deal with that. So this is why we've got to ride it out to the end. Okay, we've got to ride it out until it's a good thing. All right? So example. Your adrenaline glands, when you have an emergency, a trauma, a thing happen, what happens? You get adrenaline. Adrenaline kicks in, okay? So that you have this, your body has the stuff to be able to handle what's going on. Same thing with trials, okay? Your body, let me get it right here. The patience you have already on the inside of you, when your faith is tested, then the patience comes out. You don't need patience all the time. How many of you need patience all the time? Oh, come on. You don't need patience all the time. Neither do you need adrenaline all the time. Adrenaline all the time would be a disaster. It would. It would be, you would there would be damage. There would be how did Tim Gilligan, the example he used was, he said, brushing your teeth and flossing your teeth with too much adrenaline would cause serious injury. Okay, that was one of his examples. It fits. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is within you, right? Holy Spirit is within you. Patience is within you. Is it not a fruit of the Spirit? Okay, it is. Actually, I like this about the Amplified says about the gifts of the Spirit. It says the work which His presence is accomplishing. So it's the work in you. The fruit is the work of His presence in you. It's what it's accomplishing. Okay? So you have to have patience. Say, I have patience.
I have patience.
Better. Come on. I have patience. So you have to stop saying that you don't have any patience. You know, I don't have patience for you. I don't have patience for that. This or that. You know, whatever it is. You do have patience, and you need to engage it. Okay? The problem is that we've trained ourselves to respond without patience. I mean, you respond according to the path that your brain has made. So if it's anger, rage, you know, pick one that you respond with. You know yourself. Some people isolate themselves. I'm a good one for that. Ostrich in the head in the sand. I like that one. Let's go find something to do to distract us from this trouble. I do that. Either that or it's, oh, that looks good. I like to eat that, and I'd like to eat that, and I'd like to eat that. And I, you know, it's a coping. It's a coping mechanism. We use other things rather than patience. Also, the other thing is you want to get the word in. You want to be able to, your patience will hold out if you have substance, if you have some word underneath you, okay? We have to have this patience in order to have results, in order to be able to count it joy, in order to bear fruit, okay? We have to have it. We have to let it come out. Okay, look at it this way. Faith and patience are brothers. Okay, faith is out in the yard playing, and the neighborhood bullies come, and they're duking away on faith. Patience, the big brother, is inside. He sees what's happening. He comes out the door to help faith. Okay, another example. So now let faith have its perfect work. Let it have its complete work, its full effect, and do the job. Okay, trials come. They're going to come this week. More than likely, you will have something that will come this week. It's just the way it is. We need to recognize them for what they are. We need to count it joy that we're going to make it through it. And we're not going to give up, and we're not going to get afraid. All right? So let's look at the word patience. Patience, the Greek word is I can't even say it now. Did I write it down on yours?
Yeah.
Hupomene. That's what it is. Hupomene. Okay? And it means to remain under, to stay in place. Don't get moved by the situation, perseverance, endurance, all that, okay, means that patience isn't going to change your trial. That's not the purpose of the patience, okay? The patience is to hold you in place, okay? It's to strengthen you, to stand in that hard place. It helps you to stand still during the trial because don't you want to flail? You know, I watch my infant granddaughter. Every time she has a bath, it's just like, ah! You know, she's flailing all over. You don't want to be doing that. And the reason why you don't want to be doing that is people are watching you. You're supposed to be a believer that trusts in God, and you're flailing all around because you're upset about what you're going through. Uh-uh. That's not how we're supposed to be responding. Because if they want what you've got, you need to be able to be stable in the midst of garbage that's going on in your life. Because then they'll go, you know, I like what you got. What are you doing? How can you be at peace? I had, when Roger went through the aneurysm and the brain surgery that he had, it was like I walked around in a bubble. And there are people that will tell you that I looked like I was in a bubble. I wasn't moved. I knew. They told me. They said he has a 70% chance of survival. He could walk. He could wake up not walking, not talking. You know, he may end up, you know, just laying there. These are the things that you have to consider. I considered those, but I walked through them. Now, I look at it as it was probably a gift of faith, a supernatural gift of faith that I was walking in. But I walked through that undisturbed without flailing. Now, that doesn't make me crazy, and my parents thought that I was walking in la-la land, but they've thought that for years, so it doesn't make any difference. Melanie doesn't get it. Well, yeah, I get it. It's just I'm not responding the way they were responding. They came to the hospital to check on him because they thought I wasn't telling them the truth about how he was doing. He's fine. He's fine. He's talking. Crazy, but he's talking. He was still under the influence. He was asking for pickles and all kinds of strange things. I shouldn't say that. He's not here to defend himself. I shouldn't say that. It was fun. It was, the kids had a great time teasing him. Okay, so the patience doesn't change the trial. What it changes is you, because you can stay stable. You can hold on. Okay, it helps you to hold fast. It helps you to stay strong. Okay, so there's no whining. There's no complaining. There's no blaming. That's my favorite. Blaming. You know, if you can blame somebody else for the deal that you're going through, you know, then you can talk to whoever you want, and it just, you know, can't do any of that. All right? That's off bounds. Okay? Now, if we quit, if you quit or put your head in the sand, the enemy's won, because that was his whole goal in the first place. He's after your believing. He's after your trusting. So he wins when you do that. So let's not be giving up. That's not a good thing. Okay? He wants to get you to unplug from God. He wants you to become angry, upset, afraid, isolate yourself, cope by different mechanisms. He wants you to quit believing and trusting in God. And if he can make you think that it's not turning out right, then he's won. And a lot of times that's his last resort, is it's not turning out the way you think it should turn out. Well, you're not God. You don't know. You don't know the whole picture, so you're not going to know that. So when we quit, we dismiss patience. Okay, so patience just goes and lays right down, and then faith shuts down. We have to keep this patience engaged. Okay, so we got to remain under. We got to hold fast. We want to give patience its full force. Okay, its full force. Remember, it's inside of you. It's not that you don't have it. Everybody say, I have patience. I have patience. Okay, we got to let it come out. It gives us strength. This is where we gather the strength, okay? That's where, and if you can think of it, this isn't something that you're manufacturing up. It's a work of God. This is the way, this is the formula on how it's supposed to work. The trial comes. It's to test your faith. Because it's testing your faith, it's producing patience, all right? Which helps you be complete, perfect, lacking in nothing, okay? So God will change the trial. He will deliver. He will deliver you. I got to take time to swallow here. Time can even change the trial, can change the circumstances for you. If you will come out of it, out of the trial, it's a matter of when. You know, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Okay? So don't quit looking to God. That's the deal. He wants you to unhook, to be angry with God. It is so easy to be angry with God. It's too bad that it happens that way. And he knows that you're angry. I mean, it's not like you have to say, I'm angry with God. Isn't that on the Forrest Gump thing where the guy is on the ship and he's just, you know, God, is that all you got? You know, he already knows you're that way. He already knows that you're angry. Thank goodness. Thank God for his long-suffering. Because he knows this is working a process out, but you don't want to unhook from God because he's your answer for everything. Okay, so I'll finish with this. Allow patience to have its perfect work so that you'll be complete, lacking in nothing. And you might want to write that down on a card and pin that up. Let patience have its perfect work so you'll be complete, perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, everybody understand the process? Everybody get it? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're working a good thing in us. Father, I thank you that I don't have to work up patience, that we as a group, we don't have to work that up. That's on the inside of us. It's what your presence is accomplishing in us. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit that lives within us. He's providing all these things for us. He's helping us in trials and in pressure. Father, I ask that as we go forth today and go out into the work week, and when we come up against pressure, we'll remember this, that, it's the enemy, and he wants to test me. And I'm going to let that patience be produced in me so that I can take this all the way to the end, so that I can be complete. I can count this as joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.